in the studio with me is Tara Templeman and Alex Butinas. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Thank you.
Tara and Alex, you are students here at the University of New Mexico. And Tara, I know you in particular are a paleontologist.
Well, I will be.
Well, you certainly have been pretending like you are one. And I am so excited to learn everything you know. I want to welcome you to the Children's Hour. And thanks so much for coming on. And tell us, what does a paleontologist do? I mean, I know Anna told us a little. You find fossils and things. Tell us more.
Yeah, so we talked about dinosaurs so far this morning, but paleontologists study all kinds of extinct species and even species that are still around today, but just the older versions of them. I am interested mostly in dinosaurs, so I've done a lot of field work in Montana looking at different dinosaur species that you can find there.
And in Montana, what makes Montana so special that it has so many fossils?
So Montana had a really cool environment during the Cretaceous about 75 or 80 million years ago. It was between the Western Interior Seaway, when New Mexico was pretty much completely underwater, and where in the West there were pieces of land being added onto the West Coast. And so Montana existed in between those areas. There were a lot of rivers and fairly dry land in between, so it was a good environment for fossils to be deposited. And then Montana today isn't very highly populated, so these areas are still open and you can go out and find fossils.
Now, can we find fossils here in Albuquerque?
You can find fossils in Albuquerque, but it's hard to do because we have a lot of concrete over the ground and a lot of buildings.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Well, yeah. When I was at my friend's house, me and my sister and my friends, we were digging a hole because we were going to build a play place, except the hole got too deep to do, or not too deep to do that, except it just got like as deep as like 4 feet deep. And so we started finding like dinosaur bones and pottery. Like
down in the soil?
Decayed dinosaur bones.
Wow. And, wow.
Fossils and stuff.
Wow. Wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. But you can get things identified, you know, at the Natural History Museum. And in fact, I'll give a plug out today. There is a gem and mineral show at the New Mexico Expo right now, today and tomorrow. And you can actually bring in your fossils that you found in your yard, and they will identify them for you, which is pretty darn cool. Well, Tara, tell us more about Egg Mountain and dinosaurs, and what is Egg Mountain?
Egg Mountain is those late Cretaceous rocks from 75 or 80 million years ago. They're deposited in the Two Medicine Formation, which is just the name that we give to the rocks so that paleontologists know what each other's talking about. And it is just chock full of dinosaur bones and dinosaur eggs, which is really cool. It's a nesting site for at least three different species of dinosaurs, the Mysores, the Troodon, and the Ordromius. So it's really weird that we have three different species of dinosaurs all nesting within the same area and not bothering each other.
Were they friendly to each other? Did they eat each other? Do we know? They must not have.
For the most part, they were friendly with each other. There are some cases where we find Troodon teeth within the other dinosaur bones.
That means they got eaten by them?
At least bitten.
Oh, wow. And they lost a tooth.
Yes.
Yikes. That's a hard bite. Wow. Can you describe for us, girls, I don't know if you know Noah, what these guys look like, this Mysore and Oniosaur and what was the other one?
The Troodon.
What do they look like?
So a Troodon kind of looks like a modern day bird, except it would be about as tall as a person, a small person. And it is probably an omnivore. And Ordromius sort of also looks like a small bird, but it probably didn't have any feathers. But it walked mainly on two legs. And then the Mysore was huge. It was like 30 feet long. And it walked on all four legs.
Did it also look like a bird? No. Not walking on four legs. Wow. And so when you go to Egg Mountain, are you just literally climbing this mountain and here's a ring of dinosaur eggs, and there's a ring of dinosaur eggs just all over the place.
So at Egg Mountain, the rock is really hard, but we want to dig into the rock because within the layers of the rocks, that's where we find these fossils. So we use a technique called quarrying, where we actually, the rocks are so hard that we have to use a jackhammer to get through the different layers of rocks. So we jackhammer, and then a big group of people sits down, and we just go through the rocks one at a time and clear them off, and you find fossils in every layer as you go down.
That's fascinating. And Alex, Alex Biotinas is also a student at the University of New Mexico. You're a psychology student, actually.
Yes, but earth science, geology is my minor. So I do have a passion for that as well.
That's really cool. And how do you know when you found a dinosaur egg versus just a piece of rock?
So sometimes it can be confusing because you get rocks that are sort of egg-shaped. But dinosaur eggs are actually really, really rare. You would think that since there's a lot of dinosaurs, there would be even more dinosaur eggs. Mm-hmm. But either the eggs hatched and baby dinosaurs came out, or the nests were abandoned and predators came to eat the eggs. So there's not actually very many eggs preserved at all. And so if you think that you found an egg, you should take it to a museum and let them determine whether or not it really is an egg. But don't be disappointed if it's not. Just keep looking.
Do they look like, I know at the Natural History Museum, the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science, there is a place where they have sort of pretend dinosaur eggs that look like, they kind of look like a shape of an egg, but they're sort of more elongated than that. Is that really what they look like?
It depends on the species of dinosaur. There are some that look like that, and there are some that look more just like larger bird eggs.
Now, when you find these eggs and things and the dinosaur, I'm wondering, have you found whole eggs up there at Egg Mountain?
Yes. Sometimes you find a nest, and the nest structure is actually preserved where the dinosaur dug a hole and laid its eggs. And you can find whole eggs, and you can find little bits of eggshell where some of the eggs had hatched and some hadn't.
In your research, I even found that some embryonic fluid is also in the eggs?
Yeah, sometimes if you're really lucky, you can find an egg that was fossilized just right so that all of the bones of the baby dinosaur are still in the egg. And you can do x-rays to actually determine what that dinosaur would have looked like as it was developing.
Wow, that's so cool. Now, did they get abandoned or did they all? I know that you're talking Cretaceous, which is right when the comet or the meteor or whatever it was crashed into the Yucatan and basically caused the extinction of the dinosaurs. So could it be that the nests that you found, they were actually not abandoned, but the mother dinosaurs or the father dinosaurs were sitting on those nests and the thing happened at that moment?
Well, this is late Cretaceous, so you're right. It's right before that happened and right before the extinction of the dinosaurs. But in geology, we say right before. Really, it's about 10 million years before. But that's the blink of an eye when you're talking about an Earth that's 4 billion years old.
That makes a lot of sense. What do you think is going on with all the different species being on Egg Mountain and nesting all together like that? Is there any theory as to why they're all together? These different species that normally might have eaten each other?
That's a hot topic right now. We're not entirely sure. Obviously, there was something in the area that made it ideal for dinosaurs to stay there, and they must have had resources and water readily available in the area so that they could provide nourishment for their young. Mm-hmm. It must have just been a really ideal location to essentially build their houses.
Dinosaur is sort of like the dinosaur, paradise, Dinosaurs Hawaii or something. Anyway, well, we are talking today with Tara Templeman and Alex Biotinas, and they are students at the University of New Mexico, and we're talking about paleontology.
Hi. So I know we're talking about some species of dinosaurs, but I want to know, what kind of species of dinosaurs do you guys know about?
The T-Rex. Triceratops.
I think those are the most popular. Did you know that dinosaurs actually laid eggs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew that.
Oh, okay.
They're not mammals, right?
No. So after the dinosaurs laid eggs, what do you think happened to all the hatchlings? Like, do you think the mother dinosaurs took care of them, like your parents take care of you?
I bet they took care of them for a few months, and then after a few months, they just let them go on their own.
Yeah, after they, I think after they got bigger, they let them go on their own.
Yeah, well, that is true. The Myasaura and the Odromius, they actually are the ones out of the species that we're talking about actually cared for their young after they hatched. And because after they hatched, the hatchlings actually had the bone density and strength to get out of their egg and walk around. But the Truodon, actually, their hatchling stayed in the egg because they didn't have enough cartilage, and they used the cartilage from the egg to continue to grow their bones. And so they stayed in there for a while. They didn't jump out right away and start walking around.
That's interesting, because when I think about dinosaurs, honestly, I have chickens, and I look at my chickens now with a whole, ever since I've been doing the children's hour and learned a lot more about dinosaurs, that I look at my chickens with a different view. Like, I look at those legs, and I think, that is really a dinosaur leg. And I look at the chicken, and I think, I wonder if you are the dinosaur of today when I see my chickens. And you're right, like, the mothers hang out for a bit with the chicks. But as soon as the chicks reach a certain age, those chickens are, there's like no distinction between who's your mother hen anymore. They're just another chicken, and they get pecked on, and they're not. Anyway, interesting. Very interesting. I really like that.
And you're absolutely right. The chicken is the closest living relative to the dinosaurs. So they do have a lot of the same features.
Which then makes like Tyrannosaurus rex seem a lot less scary. Like, if you think about them as just huge chickens, although chickens are, you know, they eat anything. And
well, huge chickens with teeth.
Huge chickens with teeth. Yeah, it would be kind of scary, I guess.
And it's hard to determine how a dinosaur would have cared for its young when you're just looking at the nest. How do you know anything about the behavior of these dinosaurs?
So how do you know?
So we've actually found the most famous case in Egg Mountain is the Myasaura. We've learned most from that species. And we found the young within the nest, and we would know that they wouldn't be able to fend for themselves and that they wouldn't be able to walk long distances. And we find plant material that the mother or the father had brought back to the nest to give to the young to eat, even though they'd already hatched. So it's a lot like mother birds still come back to the nest to feed the baby bird while they're growing.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And Egg Mountain, if you're just joining us, is a mountain loaded with fossils in Montana, and located in such a remote place that people haven't developed over it, and it's really a hotbed for paleontologists of today. I want to make sure that we cover everything y'all want to cover here on the Children's Hour. Are we missing anything so far? Are we good? I want to ask you guys one more question, which is about your futures in science. And first of all, did you always love, I'm talking to you, Tara, because you're really the paleontologist who you say you're going to be a paleontologist, but you've been doing the work. So for all practical purposes, you're basically a paleontologist from our point of view. And did you know when you were a kid you wanted to do this?
Not really. I was really interested in dinosaurs and in really old mammals and that kind of thing. But it wasn't until I got to college and started taking geology classes that I learned just how fascinating it really is.
Mm. So, and what do you plan to do after you finish your schoolwork here at UNM?
After I finish schoolwork here at UNM, I have probably another 6 or 7 years of school to go through to get a master's and a PhD. But then I want to come back and teach and work in a museum.
Oh, how great. And what about you, Alex? You are a earth science minor and a psychology major. What's your plan for the future?
Definitely grad school. It's just so hard because I fell in love with both topics. I didn't know what to choose, so I just made one my major and one my minor. So I definitely want to pursue both passions. I'm just not sure how to, you know, correlate the two yet.
Yeah, maybe you can offer psychological services as you take people out into the wilderness and show them awesome things about the
yes,
earth.
Yes, exactly. They'll be just too excited. I'll just have to calm them down.
It'll work great. Well, I want to thank you both so much for being with us on the Children's Hour this morning and talking paleontology. A great place for you to go as a kid to learn more about paleontology and about dinosaurs is, of course, the New Mexico the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science, which is really one of the greatest museums in the entire, you know, field of dinosaurs. And but the way it's laid out, you can actually watch paleontologists at work, and that is a really cool thing about our museum. And plus, if you do find, like Julia, and if you find dinosaur remnants in your yard and you want to go get them identified today at the New Mexico Expo, you can go to the Mineral and Gem Show, which is happening today and tomorrow. And there is a whole section where you can bring in your minerals to be identified. And minerals do include fossils. And by the way, I did go to the Gem Show yesterday and was just blown away by some of the fossils that are on display there, which are pretty incredible. If you're a dinosaur lover, it's fun to look at those fossils and think about what life was like back then. Well, Tara and Alex, thank you both so much for being with us on the Children's Hour. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.